Turn with me to Matthew chapter 27 and John chapter 19. Matthew chapter 27 and John chapter 19. See how close to 30 minutes I can get us tonight. I got it right here. I may not make it. I'm going to try to get close. I know everybody's wore out Sundays and all that stuff, and kind of hard to pay attention 30 minutes sometimes, especially Sunday night. So I want to give you part B of the message this morning. I actually had this one message working on it, but it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and I said, well, I'm going to have to make it into two messages. I preached this morning Matthew chapter 27. Preached the message. Matthew chapter 27, verse 28 says this, and that they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And I preached about the scarlet robe. I preached a little bit about it tonight. Just kind of give you a little bit of remembrance. Some of you probably already forgot. I preached about the scarlet robe of my sin. Scarlet in the Bible is a type of sin. Come now, let us reason together. Isaiah 1:18, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow. And there was that scarlet robe of my sins. And there was that scarlet robe of my scars. The word scarlet comes from the word scar. By his stripes were healed. He was beaten and scarred upon. And we saw that scarlet robe. Scarlet is a picture of blood in the Bible. And that scarlet robe was my sins and my scars, but it was his shed blood. Y'all remember that. And his righteousness was given there. And I will preach a little bit tonight, because that robe is not only called a scarlet robe, but four times in the Bible, it's also called a purple robe. Look at John chapter 19. John 19:1, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. There's that beating we talked about. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. Now I believe that, I have no doubt in my mind, that's the same robe. And the Bible said they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." And Jesus came forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto them, "Behold the man." Mark chapter 15, verse 17 said they clothed him in purple. Mark 15:20 says, and when they mocked him, they took of the purple from him. And I believe this morning, without a doubt, I've studied it and looked at it, I believe the scarlet robe and the purple robe are the same robe. And I want to give you a little bit about that tonight. And you know, somebody said, well, there's a contradiction in the Bible. Thank you, sir. Between the scarlet and purple robe. But the colors are very close. And not only that, depending on how you look at a color sometimes, if the sun was to shine on it, you know what it looked like? It'd be bright like scarlet. But if there's a shadow upon the same color, you know what it looked like, Miss Rachel? I have a dark kid. And it looked like purple. And I believe it's the same robe, but I believe God told us one time it's a scarlet robe. And when I gave you this morning that scarlet robe of our sins, that scarlet robe of the scars, that scarlet robe of His shed blood, but I believe He gave us something else when He gave us that purple robe. A.T. Robertson, a famous preacher and writer, said this about that, Bible writer. He said there were various shades of purple and scarlet in the first century, and it was not easy to distinguish the colors of the tints. In fact, the ancients, especially the Romans, he said, used the term purple when speaking of various forms of shade. And he said, consequently, sometimes they'd use the word scarlet, and sometimes they'd use the word purple for the same color. So I believe this morning, without a doubt, it's the same robe. And I preach on the scarlet robe. Tonight I'll preach a little bit on the purple robe. And I want to give you just a few things quick tonight about that purple robe. I want to say first of all about that purple robe, take your Bible and look at John chapter 19 where we was. And the Bible said this. And Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. John 19:1. The soldiers placed their crown of thorns upon his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth and said, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." And came Jesus forth. Here's Jesus. He'd been beaten by this time. He'd been whipped by this time. He'd been scourged by this time. I gave you that scourging in detail this morning. And he's wearing that crown of thorns there, and blood coming through his head where it pierced his head. And they put on that purple robe. And Pilate says this. He said, "Behold the man." And I read that, Miss Martha, and I'm thinking to myself, what man? This guy had been nearly beat to death.
I mean, he'd been whipped with a cat of nine tails 39 times. I mean, the blood was coming through it, through the robe there, and that blood upon his head. And what a pitiful sight that day when my Pilate stood there and he brought Jesus forth after he'd been beaten like that, and the blood coming down his head, and they'd been mocking him and beating him. And he said, "Hey, behold the man." What man? There was a purple robe of shame. What that was. They shamed and mocked him that day. You say, who was that? That was the precious Son of God. That was the one that made this earth. John chapter 1 said, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was the creator and the God of this universe. And He come down there and He went through that shame, Brother Al. And He said, behold. Behold the man. There He was in that purple robe. Beaten. Humiliated. And shame. Isaiah 52 verse 14 we saw today. They were astonished at Him. His visions were more marred than any other man. And His form more than the sons of man. He was beaten upon that shame. Isaiah 53 2. There was no form nor comeliness in Him. He didn't even look like a man. Psalm 22 verse 6 He said, He's crying out, but I'm a worm and no man. I want to say there was the purple robe of shame. What a pitiful, shameful sight that the sinless, spotless, pure Son of God standing there in that situation, and Pilate brings Him forth there, all that He's been through, and that mocking Him in a purple robe, that purple robe of shame, and they said, behold, behold the man. Luke chapter 22 tells us they took Him. Bible says this in Luke 22, 64, when they had blindfolded Him. They struck Him in the face and asked Him. They walked by and they put that blindfold on Him and say, prophesy. Who was it that hit you? You say, what were they doing? They were mocking in shame, and He wore that purple robe of shame that day. J. Vernon McGee writes in his commentary about that. He said, I believe that your Lord Jesus was so mutilated that you would not even recognize Him. He said Jesus Christ was subject to unbelievable humiliation, shame, and untold suffering. There was a purple robe of shame. You know, I was thinking about that too when I was working on this message. Saw several, I mentioned this morning, news stories this week and on the news of these little babies that's been abused and tortured and all that, and those beautiful, innocent little babies. But you know, Jesus Christ was more innocent and pure than that little baby. You know, inside Him was a pure Son of God. There was no sin, no guile. He that knew no sin. He was as pure as anything that's ever lived. He was the only perfect man. And He was a sinless, spotless Son of God. And He went through all that shame for you and I. And He wore that purple robe. That purple robe of shame that day. The word shame means reproach. It means derision. It means contempt. It means mock. It means dishonor. It means grace. It means humiliation. He went through all that for you and I. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm chapter 69. Psalm 69, go ahead and get Mark chapter 15. They beat upon Him. They spit upon Him. They spit in His face. You ever had anybody spit in your face? Brother Al's raising his... I have too. I was witness to a man over in East Lake Park one time. I told you, my little kids, they were little bitty guys with a time. They were all three of them there. Passing out some gospel tracts years, about, I guess, 30-something years ago. My guys were little bitty guys. And I gave this guy a tract, and he said, I don't believe that blankety blank. And spit right in my face. You see, well, I just went in there and wiped it off. Just to, you know what I did it? You know what I thought about when he did that, Miss Jenna? Immediately I thought of myself, well, that's what they did to the Lord. I mean, surely, I can take a little spit here, wipe it off. They spit upon Him and beat Him and spit in His face and mocked Him. He wore that purple robe of shame that day for you and I. You say, who was that? That was the sinless, spotless, pure Son of God. Look at Psalm chapter 69. There was a purple robe of shame that day. Purple robe my Savior wore. That song I tried to sing this morning. Oh, the shame for me he bore on that cross, wore that purple robe they placed upon it. Psalm 69 is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 69 verse 4 said, they hated me without a cause. That's what Jesus Christ said over there. Hated me more than a cause and more than the hairs of my head. They would destroy me. Come down to verse 8, talking about Jesus. I am become a stranger to my own brethren. He said about that. He said over there about that in the New Testament. I'm alien to my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He quoted that in the New Testament. The reproaches of them that reproach me are falling upon me. Come down to verse 19. This chapter deals with Jesus Christ. In verse 19, Psalm 69, 19 says, I have known my reproach and my shame. And my dishonor, mine adversaries are all before me. They shamed and dishonor. Verse 20, reproach hath broken my heart, and I'm full of heaviness, and I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They gave me gall for my meat, for my thirst they gave me vinegar. You say, what's he talking about? That's that shame. He said I was reproached and I was ashamed that day. I want to say he wore the purple robe of shame for you and I. They beat him and they spit upon him. Isaiah chapter 56. It said, I gave my back to the smiters. That's where they whipped him today. And I've talked about that scourge in my cheeks of them that plucked off my hair and they pulled the beard out of his face. And he said, I hid not my face from the shame and the spitting. He opened up, they spit upon him in that shame that day. And he was wearing that purple robe of shame. Look at Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. That old song, Purple Robe My Savior Wore. All the shame for me he bore. In the common judgment hall, he was mocked and scorned by all. The Son of God they spat upon that day. Soldiers of that wicked man smote him with their evil hand. The man that wore that scarlet purple robe. Mark 15 verse 17 says this, and they clothed him with purple. And they played it a crown of thorns and put it about his head and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed and they did spit on him and bowing the knees they worshiped him. You say, what are they doing? They're bringing him to shame and mocking him, and there's that shame of the purple robe today, brethren. Hebrews chapter 12, 2 says about Jesus, looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. He took the shame that day, my friend, for you and I. That old song Philip Bliss wrote, Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. J.C. Riley, in his commentaries, one of his commentaries there says this about that day. He said, then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. That was our blessed Lord, the eternal Word. He meekly submitted to the let out after this fashion as a gazing stock and an object of scorn, with an old purple robe on his shoulders, a crown of thorns on his head, his back bleeding from the scourge and his head from the thorns, to feast the eyes of a yawning, howling, bloodthirsty crowd indeed. He said, truly such love passeth knowledge. There was the purple robe of shame that day. Oh, the shame for me he bore. Not only was there a purple robe of shame, I'll tell you something else about that purple robe. There's a purple robe of sovereignty. You say, what sovereignty? Sovereignty means king. It means the one possessing or possessed supreme political power. It means the king. It means royalty. In the Bible, the color purple is connected to kings and royalty. Judges chapter 8, I'll just quote them to you. Judges chapter 8 says this, verse 26, and they captured these kings, and it said the weight of the golden earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels, and it said a purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian. That's what the kings wore, purple. Purple was the most expensive color. It was a color over there in Luke chapter 15, where that 16, where that rich man, it said there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and lived a sumptuous for every day. That purple was connected with royalty. Over there in the book of Esther, that time with Mordecai, when they made him a royal king, and they were going to put the king's apparel on him, and the Bible said they clothed him in purple that day. And I want to say there was a purple robe of sovereignty that the Lord Jesus wore. They placed upon him a purple royal robe. Several of the commentaries I looked at when I was studying this message, I don't know if it's true, but it probably is. They said, Miss Martha, that he probably had one of Herod's old robes, one of the old king's robes. They placed upon him, mocking him. And they placed that purple robe on him. And they began mocking him and the shame and ridiculing him. Look at verse Mark chapter 15, where you're at. Mark chapter 15 and go to John chapter 19. Mark 15 and John 19. They're mocking him. And there's the purple robe of shame. There's the purple robe of sovereignty. That purple robe was connected with kings and royalty. It probably come for Herod the king. And they placed that old purple robe upon him. And they were ridiculing and mocking him. Look at Mark chapter 15, verse 17. The Bible said they clothed him with purple. They put that purple robe on him. And then they plaited a crown of thorns on his head. And they put it about his head and they begin to salute him, mocking him is what they're doing. And they're saluting him. There he is with the blood coming down his head. There he is with that crown of thorns. There he has been beaten. And they're mocking him. They're saying, Hail, hey, King of the Jews. See what is it? Here's the purple robe of sovereignty. Look at, keep reading. It says they go down there, verse 19, and they spit upon him and they bowing their knees, worshiped him. He said, What are they doing, preacher? They're shaming him. There's the purple robe of shame and they're mocking his king. Said, Hey, here's the king. This is your king. I mean, he's been beaten. They put the purple robe of sovereignty on him. And they're mocking him as a king. Brethren, would you like to know who that was in that robe? That was the King of Kings. That was the Lord of Lords. That they had put that purple robe on was mocking his sovereignty. Look at John chapter 19. I love this. John chapter 19. They're mocking him and ridiculing, making fun of him like he was a king. See, they were ridiculing him as a king. But I got news for you, Brother Al. That king they were mocking that day was the King of Kings. And the Lord of Lords. He was the one. Look at John chapter 19. There's old John chapter 19, verse 17. John 19, 17, old Pilate, and he bearing his cross, John 19, 17, went to a place called the place of the skull, which is in the Hebrew Golgotha, where he was crucified. One, two with him, one on the other side, Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was this. I love this. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title read many of the Jews, and the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. That's for the Gentiles. That's the three whole languages of the world. And Pilate, in just not knowing what he's doing, but I'm sure by the inspiration of God, he wrote a title on there and it said, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And look what the Jews said the next thing. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, verse 21, Write not the King of the Jews, but he said that I am the King of the Jews. And Pilate said this, I love. He said, What I have written, I've written. See, all he said, that man up there, he's a king, is what he was saying. He wore that purple robe of sovereignty. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and let's go to Revelation chapter 17. See, what was it? It was a purple robe of shame. It was a purple robe of sovereignty. And though they mocked him and ridiculed and held the king and they beat him and mocked him, brother, I'm going to tell you, that was a king right there, Miss Frieda. That was the King of Kings that they were ridiculing. There's the purple robe of that sovereignty. And though they mocked him and ridiculed him, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 14 says this. 1 Timothy 6, 14. Says it's about that king. 1 Timothy 6, 14. Thou shalt keep that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable in the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch it. Which in His times He shall show, watch this, who is the blessed, the only potentate, and the King of kings and Lord of lords. You know what that word potentate means? It comes from our word potent. It means powerful. It means almighty. It means He is the only potentate. It means God Almighty. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Say, who was wearing that purple robe that day, preacher? That purple robe of sovereignty that they were mocking, the carriage robe. It was the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 17 first. Turn to Revelation 17. I want to say there was a purple robe of that sovereignty, the purple robe of shame. Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says, I want you to know who they're talking about here. It was that Lamb of God. I preached a little bit more about this morning. That Lamb of God that bore our sin, that scarlet robe of my sins that He wore. That Lamb of God, that Lamb that God killed in the garden of over there with Adam and Eve and clothed them with the skins of animals, it says over there. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 14 says, and these shall make war with the Lamb. Call out the Antichrist and the beast. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they shall, and they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. Verse 15, here the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse, and He that was on it was called Faithful and True. And verse, come down to verse number 15, out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He shall smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And He hath on His vessel and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, who was He? He was the King of Kings in that purple robe. I like the illustration I've given you before about old Queen Victoria. She was a queen of England. She is a queen of Great Britain. She was a queen of Ireland. She was a queen of Spain. And she was a queen in the late 1800s and died in 1901, I believe it is, if my memory's right. And she's the one, she heard a message one time, Brother Al, on the second coming of Jesus Christ. The dean there at the church there in England preached. And after she heard that message, she got up, she was crying. When she heard the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he said, what's wrong, Your Majesty? And she said, oh. She said, I do hope the Lord comes back when I'm still alive. And he said, why is that, Your Majesty? She said, because I want to take this crown off my head and lay it at His feet. He's the King of Kings. That song that we just sang, the ladies just sang, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine for? You say, who was it? He was the one that wore that purple robe of shame and that purple robe of sovereignty. Brother, he was the King of Kings. I want to give you one more. Take your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 23. I'm having a good time. Y'all not in a hurry, are you? We ain't got nothing to do till 12 o'clock, do we? I got just one more. I'm trying to get through it. Miss Frieda's back there saying, I hope he's kidding. I hope he's kidding. I'm tired. I heard old Carl Lackey say one time, he said, they don't measure my messages with a clock. They use a calendar. There's old Paul one time preaching over there, and he preached past midnight. Y'all remember that? Said he was long-winded. I preached a message years ago. I'm going to have to bring that one out, a long-winded preacher. A dead church member, a long-winded preacher, a sleeping saint, a dead church member, and a great revival. Remember, he went to sleep. Fell out of the window. You know why he fell out? You know why he fell out of the window? Because more of him was out than in. See, if he'd have been more in the church, see, the problem with that saint, he was out of the church. And when you fall out of the church, you'll fall down dead. If you're in the church serving God, when you fall, you'll just fall a little bit, see. Why you want to get in? He had more out than in. Otherwise, he'd have just fell a few inches right there. But he fell dead. Where was I at? Anybody remember? Luke 23. I got you. That's what old brother Odell, he'll get preaching there at the mission sometime. It was so funny. And he'll get preaching and say, he's serious. He'll say, y'all remember where I was at? And they'll start laughing. And he'll start, John 19, preacher. he wasn't kidding. Luke chapter 23, there was that scarlet robe and there's that purple robe. But there's one more robe that is described in the Bible I bet you've never seen. And look at Luke chapter 23. And this robe's called a scarlet robe for our sins and the scars and the shed blood. That purple robe of shame, they shamed him. And that purple robe that showed that sovereignty is king, they're mocking. But in Luke chapter 23, verse 11, it says about this, about that robe. And Herod with his men of war set him at naught and mocked him and arrayed him in a gorgeous robe. And send them again to Pilate. I believe that's the same robe. I'm almost certain that scarlet robe and that purple robe and that gorgeous robe is the same robe. And you know what that robe is to me and you? That scarlet robe that was for sin, the scars and the shed blood and the shame, the sovereignty. You know what that robe all points to me and you? It points to a gorgeous robe that you and I can wear. That word gorgeous, I looked it up. It means beautiful. It means very attractive. It means very pleasant. And there's that purple robe of shame, the purple robe of sovereignty, but there's that gorgeous robe of salvation. You know what you and I, we get to wear all that scarlet robe and the sins and the scars and the shed blood and that robe of shame, that purple robe. You know what they all point to? They point to that glorious robe that you and I get to wear. Arthur W. Pink wrote in his Gospel of John, he was clothed with a color of contempt that we might receive the robe of salvation and righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, I've quoted it so many times and gave it some this morning. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 64 and Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 64 and Isaiah chapter 61. I'm 27 minutes. I'm getting close. Isaiah chapter 64. You say, that gorgeous robe was a gorgeous robe of my salvation. See, God clothed me with that. Just like in Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, they tried to sow fig leaves, a picture of man's righteousness, trying to hide that nakedness and that sin. Then the Bible said they ran and they hid from the presence of God amongst the trees. That's what I did for 20 years, Brother Al. I ran from God, the dope and all the things I did. I was trying to run from God and I hid among the trees. Jesus Christ saved my soul. Just like Adam and Eve, God took the skin, the coats of animals, and clothed Adam and Eve that day. And the Bible said in Psalm 27, the lambs are for thy clothing. God clothed me. Isaiah 64:6 says this, all our righteousness, we're an unclean thing, and all our righteousness, it says over there, is as filthy rags. That's not our sin it's talking about. That's not the bad things that we do. That's our righteousness. You and I, we couldn't wear a robe, a gorgeous robe of salvation. All our righteousness is nothing but filthy rags, according to the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 61. I want to say there's that gorgeous robe of salvation. That gorgeous robe of His righteousness. Look at Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 10. This is a great verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Watch this. For He hath clothed me. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. And He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decked for the Lord, God put on me that glorious robe of His righteousness, and He clothed me with the garments of salvation. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, not mine. And that righteous, that gorgeous robe that day is that robe that you and I, salvation, Miss Martha, we can put on that garment of salvation, that robe of His righteousness. not mine. I have no righteousness. The best I can do before the Lord is nothing but filthy, filthy rags. Romans chapter 3, I could give you many verses. Romans chapter 3, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Romans 3:22, for the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Salvation is righteousness of Jesus Christ upon me. He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And that's a robe. His robe of His righteousness. The whole book of Romans deals with that. His righteousness. He wore that scarlet robe of the sin. He wore that scarlet robe of my scars. He wore that scarlet robe of His shed blood, and that purple robe of shame, and that purple robe of sovereignty that day. So you and I, one day, we can be clothed with that gorgeous robe of salvation. That old song, on the hill far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. That's what He went through. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. One of those verses, I think is the third verse, says, oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world. Just like that robe they put on Him. They put on that scarlet robe and beat Him and mocked Him, dripping in blood. They put on that purple robe of shame and mocked Him and hailed the King of the Jews and mocking Him. And that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. And that old scarlet robe and that purple robe has a wondrous attraction for me, because that allowed me to put on that gorgeous robe of salvation and that robe of His righteousness. I used to get a lot of magazines years ago. Back for the internet, I'd get about 15 magazines every month, Miss Martha and Rita. My wife can remember we had magazines piled everywhere. She'd try to order them, but never could. I got Time, got Newsweek, U.S. News and World Report. Had to have Mad magazine. Couldn't survive without Mad. You had to have that now. Had to keep you straight. And I'd get Popular Science, Popular Mechanics, all kind of. And one of them I'd get I liked was Reader's Digest. Anybody ever read it? Now, I hadn't had one in years, you know. But I'd get that thing every month. I'd read it from cover to cover. I like Laughter's the Best Medicine, you know. That was a good one. But one of my favorite parts in there was this area called Drama in Real Life. Y'all remember that? And it'd be people that'd be rescued from shark bites. They'd have an avalanche. They'd nearly drown. They'd get lost in the sea for 2 days. You know, and they'd get rescued and things like that. And it was pretty amazing stuff, Drama in Real Life. I remember one of them, a guy was in a sleeping bag. And he's in his sleeping bag, Miss Frieda, and something was down in the sleeping bag. It kept crawling up. And it was an eastern diamondback rattlesnake, the most poisonous snake. One bite to kill you in America. And that thing was, head was doing this on his neck, and his face was right there on his, just looking there. That gave you a nightmare, wouldn't it? There's one story I read in there I've never forgotten, and it's been about 30 years ago. And it was about this cowboy in Montana. He's in Montana. He's going up there doing some hunting for a caribou or something. This cowboy, and he took his horse, and they went up way up in the mountains, and he went 15, 20 miles away from his house. He's up there hunting for some food, Miss Martha. And about that time, a big snowstorm came through. A big blizzard. Out of nowhere, and they're up on the mountain, and the temperature begins to drop 10, 15, 5 degrees below zero. I mean, it's kept getting colder and colder and colder, and frostbite began setting in his fingers. He could hardly move his fingers, and he knew he didn't have much longer to die. He knew he'd never survive up there much longer, Brother Ben. But he read somewhere where the inside of a horse's cavity had a constant warm temperature for several days. And he looked at that horse. And that cowboy, that horse was more than just transportation. That horse was his best friend.
You've heard them cowboys say, "You can have my wife, but don't mess with my horse now." They went with that horse. That horse was their best friend. That horse went everywhere with them. But he knew the only way he could survive was to live inside that horse. And that old cowboy, with tears in his eyes, went over there and hugged that old horse for the last time. Tears, put that rifle up to his head, pulled the trigger. Went in there, Miss Martha, and he opened up that horse, took all the organs out and the intestines and cleaned out the body cavity. And Brother Ben, he climbed in that horse's cavity as tight as he could in a fetal position and clawed inside. And the snow just piled up on top of that horse in the cold weather. And he's in that bloody carcass of that horse. A day or so later, somebody up there, a rescue team, found him. And they found him inside that horse, Miss Martha, still alive, still warm from the carcass of that horse. And that old cowboy was so thankful for that horse. He brought that horse down, that body still frozen, took that head of that horse, and had that horse mounted, the head of that horse mounted. Brother Al put that thing in his house, in his dining room. And at RLP said, "I don't want to ever, 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 ever forget what that horse did for me." And he wrote a little plaque underneath that horse and it said, "He died that I might live." And you know what that's a picture of? The Lord Jesus Christ. That old cowboy climbed inside the carcass of that robe and that horse became his robe of salvation, man. That bloody cavity of that, you know what, Jesus Christ, that bloody scarlet robe and all the things he went through and all the beatings. You know what that was, brethren? That was a gorgeous robe of salvation, because all that he went through for, he died so that I might live. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to ask Brother Al, would you dismiss us tonight in prayer, sir?